Hello and welcome to the WCU Podcats Podcast. I'm Josh Thompson.
And I'm Patrick Frazier, coming to you live from beautiful Cullowhee, North Carolina, and Olympic headquarters Cullowhee.
Yeah, absolutely, Patrick. This week's podcast is going to be a little bit different, as the Podcats are making things topsy-turvy. Usually, we start with This Week at Western, and then go into a feature of the week, right? Well, this week, we have a ton of stuff going on, as Move-In begins our week of welcome on Friday. So, This Week at Western is going to be an extended edition, and that's going to take place after our commercial break, and our feature for this week is going to be taking place before the commercial break. So, diving right into that, hopefully you are like us and you have caught some Olympic fever. I know that nobody has more Olympic fever than you do, Patrick.
I have been following the Olympic Games really closely, pretty much since the start. You know, it helps that my brother is there working with NBC Sports.
But oh, your brother is there?
Yeah, you know.
My brother is there.
How ironic is that, that the younger brothers are the ones getting to go do the world traveling fun stuff while the older brothers are stuck recording a podcast talking about them?
We're the working stiffs, and they're the ones out gallivanting around the globe. But Patrick, what is, what's been some of your favorite games and things that have caught your attention during this Olympics?
Well, I've always loved the Olympics, mainly because you get to see all those sports that you never see the rest of the year, which is kind of sad because there's a lot of sports I would follow year round if they were on TV.
Yeah. Now, and right now, just to give you an example of how into the, Olympics Patrick is, we've got several screens here. We've got one that's recording, so we're watching kind of our recording progress and things like that. But every other screen is devoted to, let's see, you've got
we got badminton on one.
And indoor bike racing, track racing. I don't even know what that sport is.
Indoor cycling is on one. We got badminton on another one. We just finished up the Greco-Roman wrestling.
Yep.
You and I have been avid followers of water polo and handball.
Yeah, man. Handball has caught my attention, and I have decided that me and you are gonna make a run at this whole being Olympic announcers things, because I had to watch too much handball with not enough commentary, but that's another discussion in another podcast for another day. But yeah, the Rio Olympics have been really cool. Interesting though, you know, a lot of folks were kind of really hesitant. A lot of folks, even as late as March and April, thought, you know, the deal could be canceled with all the issues that they were having down there. So there was a little bit, at least on mine, and I don't know about you, but, you know, Jarrett has had a very kind of structured path to the Olympics, your younger brother. And, of course, we've had Jarrett on the show before. He's always really great to talk with us.
Yeah, NBC does a really great job getting all of their staff prepared for the Olympics. He did a year's worth of safety trainings. And they do it before each Olympics, but more so this time just because of some of the safety concerns in Rio. So he's been doing all kinds of trainings, and they've actually had a group on the ground pretty much since the Sochi Olympics, getting things ready for the next one, which is crazy to think that for 2 years groups kind of going through, doing all the prep, getting cameras set up. As the venues are being built, they're running the lines. So getting everything ready for this world event every 2 years for an Olympics, or every 4 years for the main event for summer or winter.
Yeah, and so Jarrett has been, like I said, very generous with his time and things like that. And he's had a very structured, working for NBC, very structured environment. For him, it is a work experience.
And it's a little bit different for your brother. Brett has not had that same kind of structured environment during his Rio trip.
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know, my younger brother, Brett, is a senior at UNC Chapel Hill, majoring in journalism and broadcasting and doing some things like that. But he has had a really great go at Chapel Hill, and has made quite the name for himself. He has been on their Sports Extra, which is a student-run television sports show that they do, as well as some other UNC news outlets. He even actually got a chance this summer before he went to Rio to co-host an hour of the Adam and Joe radio show on 99 FM The Fan in Raleigh, which is a very popular show in the Triangle area. I'm sure you know it if you are from that area. But my brother has had a lot of really great experiences and turned into an opportunity where he got to go to the Olympics as a freelance writer, and UNC sent him, which is pretty cool. However, he has being freelance, you have to kind of develop your own stories and things like that. So,
and the word free is not a key part in that term. No. Freelance.
Yeah, he went down there and he's had a fantastic time, and I can't wait to hear more about it once he arrives back in the United States. I miss him. We'll get some Halo in. I'll get to hear all the in-depth stories, but it's been an interesting journey for him. I know that when they say he was credentialed, I don't really know kind of what I was expecting, what he was expecting, but essentially, Patrick, he is credentialed for the main press center, and that is it. To the point where he can't even eat in the Athletes Village when he's there working. He's actually eating at, like, Brazilian Joe's, like, food truck down the road.
So there was one day last week where he actually FaceTime you here in the office. And he was just kind of hanging outside the venue waiting on some of the athletes to get there.
Yeah, so he's been doing a lot of North Carolina-specific sports and a lot of North Carolina-specific athletes, and he has gotten a chance through kind of his own way. He's gotten a chance to go to Beach Volleyball and see Kerry Walsh Jennings and April Ross play. He had a chance to see Michael Phelps swim in preliminary competition and win his. And then even today, he had a chance to go to preliminary track and watch Usain Bolt win his qualifier for the 200. So he's had a chance to see two of the all-time greatest Olympians in Michael Phelps and Usain Bolt of all time, which is pretty cool. I told him, if nothing else out of the trip, you've learned about the different rankings of credentialing, and you've learned about surviving on your own for several weeks, and then you got to see two of the premier athletes of all time compete at their height, which is pretty freaking cool. So
the only way he could have kind of topped that off is if he'd been able to see Katie Ledecky in the pool as well, because she is such a phenomenal athlete in the pool.
And she might have competed, but I don't remember her competing that day that he was there in the prelims. But so he's had a great time, and it's been such a cool experience for him to get to do that as a student going into his senior year at Chapel Hill. But one of the things that, you know, he was doing is he was searching out North Carolina stories, right? And it doesn't necessarily have to be an athletic story. It's just a story about involving folks from North Carolina. So we connected the dots between my younger brother and your younger brother, and they were able to get together in Rio at the main press center. So if you hear the ocean in the background, then be super jealous like Patrick and I are. But we'll be presenting you an interview. So Brett got to interview Jarrett a little bit about his experiences there in Rio, as well as kind of getting ready for it. And then Patrick, the part where the younger brothers decided to turn the table on us and pick on us just a little bit.
Just to add to their kind of joyous times that they're having.
Just to rub our face in it just a little bit more. They decided to play a game of who would win in this Olympic sport, Josh or Patrick. Or, for example, when they talk about sprinting, they also throw in a turtle. Because apparently we're the most unathletic people that they've ever seen in their entire lives. But
I would be willing to put them in that competition against the turtle as well.
Yeah, that's right. So you'll get to hear all of this in their interview. So the two that they talk about at the end, the Olympic sports, who would win? And we'll let you, our listeners, decide this after the interview as well. Who would win in sprinting? And then the other one is boxing.
And no, Heather, you don't get a say in either of these competitions.
Yeah, Heather, one of our senior assistant directors for transfer, would just say that we're both so out of shape, we would take five steps and then drop dead. which, ironically, is not too far off from what our younger brother said. So with that, I will throw it to my younger brother, Brett Thompson, who is interviewing Patrick's younger brother, Jarrett Frazier, live from Rio de Janeiro in Brazil from the main press center of the Olympics.
Thanks, guys. This is Josh's younger brother, Brett Thompson. We're here at the main press center in Rio. Excuse my voice. I've come down with a bug this week that has made me basically useless for podcasting purposes. And I'm here with Patrick's younger brother, Jarrett Frazier, who is working with NBC. First things first, Jarrett, what exactly are you doing down here with NBC?
With NBC, I'm working in the IBC, the International Broadcast Center, and I'm working in NBC's section doing all of their records. So I've got about 60 record channels, and I record all of our feeds from venues, plus all of the host broadcasts. And everything we record is what goes into our storage for long-term and archive purposes. So whenever you see highlights that are pulled from London or Sochi or whatever games it might be, a lot of those clips are things I was at those games recording. So all this stuff is what we get saved. Then we have loggers back in Stamford, Connecticut, that then go in, log the clips, put in little metadata about who scored, when, this, that. So then down the road, all that information is saved and people can search it and look for that material. And so I'm kind of the starting process of getting all that saved for everyone.
And obviously, you just said it's your third Olympics. The Olympics are a huge deal. They're the biggest sporting event in the world. What has it been like to say that you can cover three Olympics coming from, are you from Silva, right? Mm-hmm. Coming from Silva, you know, small town in the mountains.
It's interesting. It's kind of gotten to a point I don't really realize the magnitude of it, because after London, I moved to Stamford, Connecticut, and that's where I've been for the past almost 4 years. And everyone I work with there has been with the Olympics program, and majority of the people have been doing it since NBC started doing the Olympics in 96. So for some people, this is their 9th, 10th, you know, the numbers are just incredible of how many Olympics some of the people have done. So even when I just say I've done 3 compared to someone right next to me, he's done 9. So I don't really notice the magnitude anymore, because where I'm at right now, it's just kind of the normal thing.
And how has Rio stacked up, would you say, to your other two Olympic experiences?
Rio's been a little bit different. London, I wish I could have enjoyed more, but at the time I was focusing more on making a good impression to find a job later. So I didn't really get to go out and explore, because I wanted to be well rested and on point when I went to work, and which ended up working out for me. But it's a little harder here in Rio, where the Olympic Park is, to really get out and explore the town. Because if you really want to go to Copacabana, it's about an hour's drive, depending on traffic. So it's been a little difficult, because this is more of a residential area where it's in. But again, once the game started, you have the events going on, everyone's excited. So it's been good, just like every games.
And I think that's one thing that people don't really necessarily understand, is that Rio is one city, but it's sprawling. I mean, it's like almost the entire Piedmont, it feels like. Especially, like you said, getting from here to Copacabana, it's like the Olympic sites are in their own bubble within Rio. And once you get out, it's like a completely different world. Like we said, you're from Silva. You're a Western Carolina grad. How did your experience as a Catamount kind of prepare you for this experience, not only in Rio, but in London and elsewhere?
Well, I was really lucky whenever I was at Western to have a professor, Gabe Nucci. He had worked a couple Olympics before he came and started teaching there. And while he was there, I got to know him very well. And he was really the driving force that allowed me to go to London. And having him as basically a mentor to ask any question possible. NBC always produces a tech manual that's about the size of a good book. And I would look through the whole thing and just covered it with sticky notes, and he would sit down with me and answer any question I had or go over anything. So he's been one of the most valuable resources I had from Western, just using his experience and his knowledge. Plus just all the different variety of things I did, from being an RA to orientation, just learning the people skills and how to negotiate that, because once you're at an Olympic environment, you never know what you're gonna be dealing with, especially just walking around the city. You have to be able to, you know, kind of communicate with whatever language, and you just gotta learn nonverbal communication to figure out where the bathroom is or where you need to get to. So a lot of those things I learned in the communications classes, and they really, it's kind of strange. Some of those you don't think are that important, but down the road you kind of look back and it's like, well, I'm glad I have those skills now.
And this is, again, it's a worldwide event, and not everybody gets to come down here to compete or to cover it or even to watch it. So how prideful, I guess, are you of your alma mater to be down here, maybe not necessarily representing Western Carolina, but as a Catamount grad at the Olympics, at the biggest sporting event in the world?
It's nice. London was a little different because We had Manny O'Mitchell there running, and he got a silver medal as well, and that was great. I hate we don't have any athletes right now. I know the son of one of the daughters of an the daughter of one of our alums is here competing in sailing, and I didn't see how she did today. I'm not sure exactly. But it's kind of strange to be the only one from Western here this time. Last year, or 2 years ago in Sochi, I had another, I say colleague now, but another classmate with me, and his name was Roger Cody. But because of some issues, she wasn't able to go this time. So it's a little different being just the only one here.
And kind of keeping things tied to this show with the two hosts, I'd like to poke a little bit of fun at our older brothers, if you don't mind. One of the main questions that I think they've either argued together or they told me about is who would win in a race between Josh Patrick and a turtle?
You know, I don't know if either one of them are really ready for a race. Although if it's speed walking, I will certainly be there to watch that event.
And we'll take this question a step further. In a fight, they love each other, obviously. Who you got in a fight? If they have to throw hands over the show, if something goes wrong, who's what? If two of them walk into a room, who's going to walk out?
Well, Patrick's got the height, so I think Josh might get him because he's a little lower. Yeah, it'd have to be Josh.
I'm going to completely disagree with you. I don't know if Josh could leave a room with like our 10-year-old cousin unscathed. So I'm going to go Patrick. I don't know much about Patrick, but I'm going to take your brother on this one. So we'll split evenly there. But we're going to run out of time here. Jared, thank you so much for doing this. Josh and Patrick, thank you so much for having us on. I'm glad we could talk Western Carolina. It's a beautiful university. I love being able to come up and visit there on the occasion. Back to you guys.
Back here in Kaloi, and what a pair of jerks.
I agree.
Traitorous jerks. However, Jared, I appreciate the fact that you think I would stand a chance in a boxing match with Patrick, even though he's got the height and the length advantage.
I still don't agree with having the turtle in the running event, though.
Yeah. So a couple of younger brothers picking on older brothers here. But, of course, we're very proud of them and especially proud of Jared Frazier, who is representing Western Carolina University so well during the Olympics this year. And hopefully, Patrick, next Olympic go-round, we won't only just have Jarrett, but we'll also have some more Catamount athletes joining him, as they mentioned in the interview. But very very much a thank you to Brett Thompson and Jarrett Frazier for letting us in on their fun trip to Rio to cover the Summer Olympics. On the other side of this short break, we're going to be joined by our good buddy Zach Williams, the resident director of Balsam and Blue Ridge Hall, to move from the Olympics into what will feel like a very Olympic atmosphere here on campus as we dive into our week of welcome starting this Friday.
Yeah, so moving from Olympic headquarters to move-in headquarters and then to week of welcome headquarters, it's going to be
only a mild difference.
It's going to be a busy couple of days, and especially next 2 weeks here in Kaloi, but it's that favorite time of year.
Me and you, Patrick, we might sound as tired as they did during that interview by the end of this week.
Especially at the end of the day on Friday.
Yes, absolutely. We'll be back right after this break with more information on the Week of Welcome 2016 here at Western Carolina University.
Attention, future Catamounts. Our application for fall 2017 is opening this month, and we want you to apply early. More information can be found at apply.wcu.edu. by calling 828-227-7317 or by emailing us at admiss@wcu.edu. Become one of the first students to apply to WCU for the fall of 2017.
Hello and welcome back to the WCU Podcast Podcast. I am Josh Thompson.
And I am Patrick Frazier, joined today with a special guest from Residential Living.
I'm Zachary Williams. I'm the resident director for Balsam and Blue Ridge Halls.
Zach, it is a pleasure to have you on. We've known each other for several years now, and I think you are probably our most faithful listener. So, in the fact that you've listened at all. So, we appreciate that. And we're glad that you can join us today. And I think your expertise is going to come in pretty handy as we look at this week at Western. But, of course, this week at Western, we're getting ready for next week at Western.
A little bit of this week and next week.
Yeah, yeah. So really what we're going to do is we're going to attack the week of welcome. So the rest of the show is really going to be talking about all of the special events that are going to be happening the first week, starting from the first day students arrive this Friday, all the way through the end of next weekend, Sunday, August 28th. Happy birthday, Brittany. So that's really how we're going to spend our segment here. And Zach, of course, has some insight into some of those unique residential living programs, as well as what some of the former freshmen, RD now with the Honors College and stuff, so what some of the stuff that the freshmen will be going through as well.
Yeah, and kind of, you know, diving right in with it in a sense.
I guess technically we want to start this week because I do want to say that tomorrow, so if you're listening to this, we published it on Tuesday night. Tomorrow we will have a special guest on campus, Lou Mangiello from the WDW Radio Show podcast, who's been named the number one travel podcast for 5 or 6 years in a row nationally, will be on campus tomorrow for our student leader dinner. And so that'll be pretty exciting. And I have to give him a shout out because he is the inspiration for this show. So I listened to him and decided, you know, hey, let's talk about doing something like that for Western, like he does for Disney. And so we are the reason that, or he is the reason that we exist. And we're talking, the podcast exists right now, which is pretty cool. So I'm really excited to get to meet him.
Josh is more excited to meet him than anybody else at the leadership dinner.
I will agree with that.
You
Patrick.
Know that's right. But I think that'll be really cool. So now, have that out of the way. And now we'll dive right into Friday, August the 19th.
Well, one of the main things that happens Friday that we're all a part of is freshman move-in.
Oof.
Josh is extremely excited this year getting to coordinate Noble Hall move-in.
Yeah, you know what? I'm one of the few people that has officially been into Noble now. I got a tour this afternoon. I went in and met with Annalise and some of our police officers to talk about kind of move-in, traffic flow, that kind of deal. And for those who are going to get to live in Noble, that is a truly incredible facility with awesome big lounges outside of elevators, study rooms, kitchens. It is going to be the premier place to stay on campus, I think.
Does it make you want to be an RD again?
Does not make me want to be an RD again.
Are you sure?
But it does make me wish I was a student again. How about that? Because I think living there would be a ton of fun. And I know that there's already some RAs living there, and I know that our friend Jessica is getting settled over there in Noble, but it is going to be a really spectacular facility.
And Zach, he gets a troublemaker for his coordinator for move-in, one that he's had to put up with each year that he's been at Balsam and Blue Ridge.
He is quite a troublemaker, actually. He does so much trouble that I barely have to do anything when it comes to coordinating the parking outside of either one of my buildings during move-in. So I do appreciate you helping me as always, Patrick.
It's actually gotten to the point where I coordinate it for campus police.
Yeah, they've used your guidance, I would say, over the last several years.
I bring the tour guides out. I think I have about 40 tour guides signed up to help move in Balsam and Blue Ridge this year, and bring out some of the walkie-talkies we use for open house events, and we pretty much take over the place.
Yeah, I think you guys are going to be a little bit busier than I will be. I think based on discussions today, that Friday will be a good test run for Noble. We're not going to be super overwhelmed by students, but it'll be interesting because we're kind of going through the back little thing that didn't exist, the road they just built into the mountain. So it'll be a very, very interesting day. If you see me, make sure you're nice to me because it will be hot because there is no shade behind Noble. There is a concrete wall on one side. There is fresh asphalt, and there is brick on the other. So it is essentially an oven that I'll be standing in for the entire day on Friday.
Would they finish paving that about an hour ago?
Yeah, actually. I think I might still have a little bit of tar on the bottom of my shoes from the walkthrough.
Well, you know, it's only fitting because I did Balsam and Blue Ridge when they first opened. And we got the keys for Balsam the night before move-in. So we literally just moved the furniture in at night and students in the next day. and it had rained as well, so we had mud that we were tracking through and trying not to get in the building. It was a fun move, and the elevators weren't working either. That was also fun.
Yeah. I ran into Keith at Res Life today, and I said, Keith, what did I do to you to deserve this? And he got a good chuckle out of that. But to move in, it's, you know, going to be bright and early, 7 to really – we'll have volunteers out there till the 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock hour. But around that time, really, we dive into the first event of the week of welcome, which is New Student Convocation, which this year I think is going to be pretty unique in that we have – a guest speaker, especially one that is most of our students, I'm sure, are very familiar with.
Yeah, the guest speaker should be exciting. Convocation's always fun, kind of your formal welcome to the university with the chancellor and the provost in attendance. And so this year's guest speaker, I think a lot of students that are already students wish they could go to convocation just to hear the guest speaker.
Yeah, R.J. Mitt from Emmy Award-winning AMC series Breaking Bad. So he is Walter Jr. from Breaking Bad. Any of you guys, either of you guys ever watch that show? I've watched a season or so, and it was so well done that I had to stop watching it because the relationship between Walter and Walter Jr. and Walter and his wife was so toxic that it just made me feel terrible.
Made you uncomfortable.
Watching, and it made me uncomfortable. So you can tell it was really well done. But of course, Breaking Bad is one of the most popular TV shows of all time, really. And one of the more groundbreaking things that AMC has ever done, for sure. And so we're happy to welcome RJ in. He's going to speak on the topics of adversity and living with cerebral palsy. And so that'll be a fun convocation event. You get to see somebody you've seen on TV before. It's a great way to start off the year with quite a bang.
And then following the convocation, we have the class photo for 2020, which is a unique tradition that we have. It's also unique this year that this is the first year where it hasn't been a teen year for the photo. So in the years past, the one in the class photo was always the marching band. We don't have a one anymore, so now we have having to branch out. But I don't think we're going to have problems filling out 2020 with this year's incoming freshman class.
No, this year will be our largest freshman class ever. We're anticipating anywhere between 1,900 to 2,000 incoming freshmen. It will be record-breaking in every sense of the word. And so hopefully, if we're going to pick the year to kind of go without the band, then the year you bring in 2,000, potentially 2,000 students is the year to do it.
We'll have a one next year that the band can hop back in on.
Yes, absolutely.
And then we follow up and kind of cap off Friday night with RSA First Night in the UC Grand Room and Theater, inflatables, free foods, giveaways, and the movie Finding Nemo.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun.
It will be. It usually is. It's usually a heavy turnout event, especially for residential living, considering it spans all of the res halls we have on campus. Everybody's invited. If you live on campus, and even if you don't live on campus, you're more than welcome to show up.
Yeah, I know that Patrick and I, I'm sure, will not be there. I will be dead at that point. Zach, are you going to make an appearance at First Night?
I will probably be there in some zombie form of myself.
So say, are you contractually obligated to be at RSA?
I'm not, but it's such a great event. Usually all the RDs were not required to go per se, but I think the department does that on purpose because they know we want to go. We want to see what the freebies are. We want to see what the inflatables are. And most of all, we want to catch up with residents that we haven't seen in 3 months. So it's always a good place to be on the first night when students are back.
Yeah, definitely. It's a great experience for our freshmen, making sure that once your folks leave and you've had a chance to settle down, have dinner and things like that, that you do have something to do on your first night here. I know that I remember I went to my first night here and walked all the way down the hill from Reynolds with a group of people and met some of my best friends, Crystal and Elliot, at first night. And then, you know, several years later ended up being the best man in their wedding. So you never know who you're going to meet and who you're going to run into down there at first night, but it's always a lot of fun.
And both things that we mentioned, the convocation and class photo, as well as first night, are all events and types of things that you can find on your freshman bucket list. Mm-hmm. So be sure that you start checking off the freshman bucket list even on the first day of move-in.
Yeah, and those are hot off the presses. I believe they got delivered today over to Res Life. So make sure that when you're checking in that you pick up one of those bucket lists, because there are some things, if you don't get it done on Friday, August the 19th, you're not ever going to get it done. So you better, and that's being in the 2020 picture and things like that, that you want to make sure that you're very active your first weekend on campus.
And then moving into Saturday morning, yeah, I know it's a late night in a sense with RSA first night, but freshmen, that means you also have to get up early that first morning on that Saturday morning for the freshman assembly in the Bardot Arts Center, starting at 9 o'clock that morning. I've been to freshman assembly several years. Dr. Miller does a great speech at it. Always a great time to kind of kick off your college career with your fellow classmates.
Yeah, the only struggle, Zach, I think, will be getting the freshmen up at 9 a.m.
Luckily, we have some energetic RAs who are out to do that, and plenty of bullhorns and megaphones to go around.
Absolutely.
So usually, we don't have too much issue getting people up. It's just making sure they're in a good mood once we've gotten them up.
Yes. Following the freshman assembly will be Valley Ballyhoo, which, of course, is one of our favorite events here. Pretty much every student organization on campus is going to be represented out there. Zach, it takes place right in your backyard.
It does. Right behind, or I guess
front yard,
in front of my buildings. Yeah, that's what it should say, wouldn't be my backyard. My backyard is Belk.
Yes.
It's a weird hill and some bridge things. So front yard for sure. It's always interesting for me to watch from my desk because naturally I'm working on RCRs and making sure the building has been opened properly. But it is amazing the number of students that come out to Valley Ballyhoo.
I love it. I know I'm going to be there. I'm going to be lugging a camera around trying to capture all of the action of the day from freshman assembly to Valley Ballyhoo and maybe even a little bit of the following, the last event for the day, which will take place at 9 o'clock, which is the opening comedy show in the UC Grand Room featuring Jacob Williams from Wild and Out. I know that's a very popular show with the kids today.
Well, it is important to point out as well for Valley Ballyhoo, it is a rain or shine event.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's raining or not, Valley Ballyhoo will be going on. So be sure that you have that umbrella if it is raining.
Now, I know that freshmen will not have this issue, but if you're an upperclassman and you forgot to bring too many clothes, then go to Valley Ballyhoo and get a couple of t-shirts because they'll be going like hotcakes.
Oh, yes. Valley Ballyhoo is known for having quite a few random free things. I think last year the Verizon company was out there and they were giving away little elastic bands that you could glue onto the back of your phone. And I was amazed at how many people were carrying those around for the rest of the year.
Yeah, that's interesting. I have not heard that. My favorite giveaway from Valley Ballyhoo was a couple years ago. The student ambulance and EMC gave away combo. They're either heating pads or freezing pads. You can either stick them in the freezer or put them in the microwave. The little purple bead things. And those were awesome.
Yeah, I have a couple of those. Those were a great item to pick up for Valley Ballyhoo. Switching into Sunday, last free day before classes begin, we have the Student Catamount Club Welcome Back Bash. This will take place at the Solar Hammock Lounge, also known as The Egg.
Yeah, the first ever event, I think, taking place other than the grand opening at The Egg, the Solar Hammock Lounge here on campus. Current and future members of the Student Catamount Club are invited, and if you are a student, there is no bad part of being in the Catamount Club. I think for a very small fee, you not only get a t-shirt, but you get a special line where you can enter into the football games ahead of everybody else. If you plan on attending even one game this year, it makes it very much worth the while. And then again, there's you another t-shirt to add to your collection, which, you know, if you're doing Week of Welcome right, in the first 3 days, you should have three or four different t-shirts you've earned.
Probably more like six.
Yeah, exactly. That'll be a lot of fun. Again, free food. So also, if you're doing Week of Welcome right, really, you should only have to use your meal plan like twice, like two or three times tops.
And that's going to be for breakfast, probably.
Yes, as long as you can stomach eating burgers or hot dogs for every single meal, and if you're like me, you can, then you're going to be in good shape, not literally, but figuratively in terms of spending that money.
And then switching into Sunday night, we have an outdoor movie, The Conjuring 2, at 9 p.m., location to be determined for that movie.
It'll probably be out on
probably
the Central
be on the
Plaza.
Central Plaza. But if it is raining, it'll probably be in the UC Grand Room.
Makes me happy that I'm not living in Balsam Blue Ridge because The Conjuring 2 is all, for me, is just nope. not a chance. So a horror movie outside your first weekend here is an interesting choice.
See, it's wonderful for me because I can sit either on the bridge or in my office in the air conditioning.
And watch it.
Clearly see it, clearly hear it because the speakers they use for that are really good. So I can hear it wonderfully from my office. I'll open the window every once in a while just to hear what they're watching out on the plaza.
And if The Conjuring isn't kind of your idea of the perfect way to finish off the Sunday, kind of not on the list, but big for us in the admissions office, the end of the Summer Olympics.
Yes.
And so a couple of WC alumni there that'll be finishing up their Rio time, my brother. The closing ceremony takes place at 7 p.m., so be sure to tune in for that.
I know that we heard from them earlier, but my brother and your brother both having a very good time, if different experiences.
Different experiences, so. For sure, looking forward to the closing ceremonies of the Olympics, although I don't know what I'm going to do in terms of having something to watch on TV, because I have watched so many Olympics.
Depression, I think.
Yeah, it's 2 years is just a long time till the Winter Olympics.
That's right. Moving on into the middle of the week, on Monday, we try to keep it light as you focus on your first day of classes. The only thing on the schedule is the ice cream social. Patrick, this is one of your last opportunities to hit up a summer ice cream social.
I did not make it to a single ice cream social.
Oh, my goodness.
Just been sold out.
The three times I went, they had sold out of ice cream. And almost every time, a school group had come and wiped them out before I got there.
Well, you know, this week will be the most epic school group, so you might want to get there early.
Yes.
All of the students will be there.
But yeah, that'll be a lot of fun on the UC lawn. So make sure you check out. Again, that'll be one of the final, if not the final, ice cream socials, which are kind of a staple of the summer here at Western as we welcome fall. Jumping right into Tuesday, August 23rd, we'll start off kind of an all-day event. The first year I believe we've ever done this event before is Unity Fest. It'll run from 9:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. at the kicking off at Illusions at the University Center. And then there will also be a barbecue on the ICA patio on the second floor of the University Center from 12 to 2, and then closing out with a speaker that evening at 7 p.m. in Ramsey Center. So all of that will be happening through our Intercultural Affairs office, and again, the first ever Unity Fest here at WCU. Should be a lot of fun.
Now, I do hope that when they say barbecue, it's the southern version of barbecue.
Nope.
And it's pork and not the hamburger hot dog.
Not a chance. It's going to be hamburger and hot dogs. I guarantee it.
Unfortunately, I have the same feeling.
I don't
feeling.
Know, but I would bet significant amounts of money, hot dog and hamburger.
So will it be the barbecue for lunch that day or the other favorite of Western Carolina admin individuals, i.e. Zaxby's on a Tuesday afternoon?
Oh, for me, it's going to be Zaxby's.
It's going to be Zaxby's.
It's all week, every week. Every Tuesday. You can find us there. So if you ever need to rob the office of admissions, there's literally nobody here on Tuesdays around lunchtime.
And Res Living and Athletics and yes, half
whole,
of campus.
Half of campus will be there.
Basically, student affairs. If you work in student affairs, Zaxby's is your lunch go-to place for Tuesdays.
Don't bother calling between 11:30 and 1, because that's where everybody's at.
Yep.
And for all you students listening wondering why Zaxby's on Tuesdays, we'll let you figure that out on your own.
No. we're going to do a show about it eventually, but with your CAT card, 25% off all day on Tuesday. Just remember, students, you're not welcome to go there until dinner time because the faculty and staff have taken over lunchtime.
Is that going to be an on-site podcast? Are you going to do the show on-site at Zaxby's?
Yeah, we should. We should. Have equipment.
Pulling people as they come in. Hey, come talk on our show.
Yeah, no, we'll do a show on the best discounts you get with your CAT card, and I think that is for sure number one. I don't think anywhere else touches 25% off.
Well, the $5 Fridays at the CAF, but that's not CAT card required. That's anybody.
Oh, I'm ready for $5 Fridays.
Another close one would be the Waffle House.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wait, what's the Waffle House?
You get a 10% discount.
10%.
That's right, Bojangles as well. We're spoiling the show. Anyway, future show spoilers. So also going on that evening, we do have a number of different events. Including intramurals, first event of the year. It's table tennis tournament, which is a singles event taking place at 6 p.m. in Norton Lobby. You don't have to do anything except for show up with your CAT card ready to participate.
And we will be looking for future Olympic table tennis participants.
Patrick, maybe. I'm not going to bother.
So you're going to have a measuring tape down just to see how far they can get away from the table, while still hitting the ball.
Yeah, and getting it over and on the table, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Also going on that evening is the glow-in-the-dark cookout and movie night, 6:30 p.m. The movie is at 8 p.m. in Harrell and Central Halls. And Zach, I know you know a little bit more about this.
Yes, the movie is to be determined. I don't know that it's been figured out quite yet. Mm-hmm. But It is going to be a cookout. Harrell and Central Halls are notorious for their cookouts, especially during summer school and summer classes.
Yep.
I think that's their main number one highest attended summer program. So Central and Harrell are known for that type of program. So if you're interested in cookouts, you really like hamburgers, hot dogs, I would certainly recommend going to that one.
Yep. Also that night, Res Life programming as well at Albright and Benton at the annual AB Carnival at 8 p.m., which is typically, again, something that happens every single year.
Yes, it is. And it is, like that, like Josh said, it is a carnival. So there will be games, there will be food, there will be prizes. I'm sure they will have the RAs down there dressed up in costumes as though they are at an actual carnival. So if for no other reason to go, go and gawk.
At go the and RAs.
Gawk. Yes.
Yes. Finally, to kind of wrap up the evening, some late night programming beginning at 8:30 is the Academic Partnerships Open House, Zach, in your building. From 8:30 to 9:30, it's just a drop-in event in Balsam 154.
And another chance to get a free T-shirt.
It is.
First 50 students.
It is. So if you want one of those shirts, you do need to get there early. That is with Brian and Veretta, and I imagine Annalise will be there as well. Annalise is the supervisor for Brian and Veretta, and that will be in their office. Naturally, you've hopefully all met them at orientation. They introduce themselves at each orientation. And this will just be a more, get to know Brian and Veretta, get to know more about what they are doing for you while you're here as a freshman or even as an upperclassman. But I do think this is mostly just for freshmen.
And while you're there as a freshman student, be sure to sign up for the Peaks rafting trip. If you were able to go rafting this summer and want to go again, or if you missed out on it this summer and want to have that experience, be sure to sign up for that rafting trip. It's only $10 a student, which is not a bad price for rafting.
It's kind of ridiculous how cheap it is.
It is.
And it is taking place right there in Balsam 154. Brian and Veretta will be doing all the sign-ups there. You can bring $10 cash, and they'll be happy to take care of you.
They will be.
Unless you're Brian's favorite. Has Brian shared with you his favorite new student story and how he can tell we're in a new generation of students?
Oh, I haven't heard this
what
one.
What is this?
Oh, I kind of don't want to steal his thunder, but it's too good not to tell.
Steal it.
Last year or the year before, you're talking about, somebody messaged him on Facebook, and for once, it was not about printing football tickets. It was about, although if you do need to know how to do that, Brian Boyer on Facebook would be happy to help.
I'm sure he will appreciate that plug.
He does. He always does. But essentially, somebody said, it says $10 cash in the student, because what does that mean? And
no.
Brian goes, well, what do you mean? Just bring $10 cash with you. And they did not. They had never used cash before.
Wow.
That's something that even like 4 or 5 years ago would have been, it's still laughable, but
it would make sense, because when I was student teaching before I took my position here at Western, I had a student in a math class who we were teaching him fractions. He was in middle school, and he did not understand that 4 quarters equaled a dollar, because he hadn't used quarters enough.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is, last year. So don't be that student. Don't ask what cash is and make Brian explain it, because he's like, I don't know how to explain to you the concept of cash. It's green, it's
situation.
Rectangular, it's got a dead president on it, probably. But that was really funny. And Brian tells the story much better than I do. So ask him about the cash story the next time you see Brian Boyer. But yeah, $10 cash to get you signed up for the cheapest rafting trip you can take here at Western or outside of Western, I think.
Josh is correct. If you have any interest whatsoever in snowboarding or rafting, do it as a freshman. It's half price, if not more, than if you're just to go with Basecamp Cullowhee as a non-freshman student.
Yeah, and we'll have more information on those as those come up. Typically, there's 4 Basecamp Cullowhee trips through Western Carolina Peaks. The first one and the last one of the year are whitewater rafting, and the second and third, which are during the winter months, are typically skiing, snowboarding. So very outdoor oriented here. It's one of the reasons we've been voted the number one outdoor adventure college in the Southeast and Mid-Atlantic for 3 years in a row now by Blue Ridge Outdoor Magazine.
And switching gears to the midpoint of the week on Wednesday, August 24th, starting off at 6 p.m. In the CRW lawn, the Intramural Cornhole Tournament.
Yes. Just show up with your CAT card to participate. 6 p.m. Just right out there on the UC lawn, right outside of the Campus Recreation Center, and they'll be happy to get you going there. I don't know that you'll need to bring a partner. However, if you do have a partner you want to play with, I'm sure they can make that happen too.
And then while you're there, go ahead and head inside the CRC for the Climbing Wall Clinic. So be sure to check that out from 6 to 8 p.m. At the CRC.
Yeah, so of course, one of the things that I think students are most impressed with on our tour that we give is once we walk into the recreation center, you can just kind of see the jaws drop when they look up to the rock wall there. It is one of the largest rock walls in Western North Carolina, in the state of North Carolina. So definitely take advantage of getting to do that. There's no cost associated with that. So get out there and do better than what I did, which is about 4 feet off the ground. Zach, how far have you been? You're a pretty in shape guy. You do hiking all the time and stuff.
So I've not actually been on the wall.
Not yet.
In the 2.5 years I've been here, which really makes me sad because I did do natural climbing before I moved mm-hmm. to North Carolina. It's just I've not brought my gear up here since I moved up.
And 6 to 8 p.m., Zach. We need to see you out there on Wednesday.
One day.
I'll
be out there one day.
I'm sure you can get past the very low bar that I set.
I would probably be driven and stubborn enough to get to the top.
Yes.
Yes.
I have never been on the wall either, but it opened after I was a student, and so I've never really used the CRC as a faculty or staff. Mm-hmm. And
as Heather, one of our fellow admissions counselors, would be quick to point out to
you.
Oh,
yes. Yes. And, you know, as much as I'd love to go out there on Wednesday, that'll be our fantasy football draft night, so I guess I'm going to have to miss it.
Good to know. So other things happening, lots of residential living programs. This evening, Wednesday, August 24th, including Grill and Chill behind Walker Hall. Zach, our former, and Patrick, all three of our former homes, although Patrick lived there as a student, and Zach and I were there professionally.
Bit of a different capacity there.
Yes.
Slightly. As a resident of Walker Hall.
Yeah. So, his stories would make you very angry as a former Walker.
I've heard some of his stories. I know.
Running his illegal businesses.
They make me squirm just a little bit. So, Josh, how does this new Walker Hall Wake of Welcome program make you feel?
You know, I gave Courtney a little bit of a hard time, our friend Courtney. So essentially, when I moved to admissions, Zach took my spot in Walker. And then when Zach moved to Balsam Blue Ridge, Courtney took his spot. And this is Courtney's second year now?
Courtney's second year in Walker,
yes,
yeah.
Second year in Walker. And I was giving her a little bit of grief the other day because dating back for the last 6 or 7 years, since I was a first-year grad student, back in 2010.
Is that in Laura's time? Did Laura start that program?
Me and Laura.
Okay.
Yeah, when Laura was the RD and I was the grad, we started doing a stoplight party, which is essentially a dance party where you wore green if you were single and ready to mingle, yellow if people should approach with caution for any number of different manners, and then red for if you were taken but you're still there to party. So that was, and it was always very, very popular, but they've changed it up a little bit, so you know, things evolve and things get better, so it'll be very interesting to see the Grill and Chill take place now instead of our annual and traditional kind of stoplight party. Maybe a little sad to not see it on the schedule.
Maybe a little. But the Grill and Chill will be the second, I suppose, official program of the year to take place at The Egg, also known as the Solar Hammock Lounge.
Yes.
So that is out behind Walker Hall. That is why Walker Hall is utilizing the area. And it will be all about grilling and chilling. one of the big
self-explanatory
things. Yeah, exactly. One of the big things they'll have there that I imagine will be a blast is Paint Twister. So if you can imagine a Twister board with all of its colorful little spots, get one of those boards and then put each respected color on the spot with paint. And you've got a pretty messy game that could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think that will be a lot of fun. That's a good evolution of the stoplight party, making use of that new egg facility out on campus there. Other things going around that evening at residence halls, I Am a Catamount will be taking place at 7 p.m. in Buchanan Lobby, as well as before I leave WCU at 8 p.m. in Noble Hall. But really kind of capping off the evening and kind of the, one of our final big events for the week is going to be speaker, and I'm going to butcher this, but it's Rajiv Surendra, at 8 p.m. in the UC Grand Room. You'll know Rajiv as he played Kevin G in the infamous cult favorite Mean Girls. So, if you're a big Mean name Girls fan,
people coming to be guest speakers within the first week of school this year.
Yeah, I think they did a great job because I think this current generation of students kind of use Mean Girls as like one of the best movies ever, and they talk about it all the time, and there's lots of memes about it, and so they've done a good job pulling from Breaking Bad, Wild and Out, and Mean Girls here for kind of speakers for the first few days on campus, so that's pretty fun.
Now, Josh, and I know you date yourself from time to time on this show. To date myself, I've been working in housing long enough. One of my residents from 5 years ago was an actress in Mean Girls.
No kidding.
Yes.
Did they film it around West Georgia?
I don't.
Or was this kind of like a summer deal?
Well, this was definitely a part-time thing for her, but she went into show business. So
now
she's a more well-known actress, and that was just something she did in the summer 1 year.
That is really cool. Thursday, August 25th, this is going to be kind of a slower day, but it's done on purpose that way. We have a part-time employment fair from 2 to 4 p.m. on the Central Plaza, unless it rains, in which case it'll be in the Grand Room. So make sure you go visit there if you want to make some of that cash, which we told you about a little bit earlier. Also another Honors College Ice Cream Social. And Zach, this is kind of y'all's Week of Welcome program, right?
This is our Week of Welcome program, and it is like Josh mentioned before, it's an evolution of a previous program similar to what Walker has done. Thanks to the admissions diligent work this year and y'all's growth of incoming freshmen, we've had to change what was previously the Honors College Cookout into the Honors College Ice Cream Social, simply because we did not have a way to cook that many hot dogs and hamburgers for the number of freshman Honors College students we have. So instead, we will be doing an ice cream social, and essentially we have 450 to 500 ice cream bars, ice cream sandwiches, popsicles, various sundries that we're picking up from the freezer section that will be out there and we'll be giving out to students.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. And then I think Patrick, the official, was like double or triple the amount of freshmen into Honors College.
Double this year, number of freshmen into Honors College.
Truly another record being broken by this incoming class of 2020. And Zach, of course, feeling the heat there.
Mind it, because you're taking what I moved into for Balsam and Blue Ridge and kind of letting it mingle a bit with my Walker days. I do enjoy freshmen, so I certainly have no problems with it.
Excellent. And the other thing, after you've done your Honors College Ice Cream Social, to work off all those hot dogs, hamburgers, and ice cream that you've eaten this week, you can take advantage of the group exercise jam from 5:30 to 7 in the CRC. And this event is one you do not have to be a Group X pass holder to join. It's one that you can kind of sample all the different Group X classes that are going to be going on. So if you want to see if it's only $10, so it's not that expensive to be part of it. But if you want to see if it's something you're interested in and give all those unique classes kind of a try in one evening, that's what that's going to be at the CRC.
So, Josh, you going to be out there getting your Group X jam on?
We'll see. Probably not, because I'm fat and lazy. But I'm sure there will be a number of folks over there. I'm sure Kelly Monteith from Student Affairs will be over there, as well as all of our friends over in intramurals in the CRC, like Shauna and John and Haley, just to name a few. So that'll be a fun evening there. And that wraps us. That takes us to Friday, which is starting to wrap up the Week of Welcome. Just 2 days left. Of activities here, but Friday, August 26th, we get started a little bit early at 4 p.m. You can register for the intramural 3x3 sand volleyball tournament at the Village Volleyball Court. So if you want to channel your inner Kerry Walsh Jennings and April Ross, then you can feel free to do that and compete in that tournament at 4 p.m. You do have to register for this one. So unlike previous events during the Week of Welcome, you do have to register at recconnect.wcu.edu by August the 24th. So by Wednesday, you need to register for this if you're interested in playing the 3x3 tournament at the Village.
And while you're in the Village area, we have the Village and Norton Block Party at 5:30. So just hang out there after you finish your volleyball tournament.
After you get eliminated by John's team. I'm sure if he's playing, they're probably super. Whoever he's playing with will dominate everybody. Oh, yeah. And then, if you want to continue kind of that healthy start that you got last night, or Thursday night, by doing the group exercise jam, again, Zach, right by you, the first Friday 5K at 6 p.m.
Yeah, Josh, I look forward to seeing you I'll be running with him? Up in the Balsam Blue Ridge Bridge. I'll be very much looking forward to seeing you down there, training for our future Walt Disney World Marathon weekend
race. That's right.
Race.
We do need to get ready for that.
One year.
Again, the starting lines by Balsam and Blue Ridge. You can register at raceentry.com/races/first Friday 5K 2016/register. And if you didn't get all of that, you're welcome to hit that rewind 10 seconds button on your iPhone or your iPad or your Droid or whatever you're listening to, because I will not say that again.
And you will need to register for that by the 23rd.
Yes, so you'll have to have registered for that by Tuesday evening to participate in the first Friday 5K, and I almost guarantee there'll be a T-shirt associated with that one as well. There typically is with 5Ks, right?
Are we up to 25 for a week of welcome now?
Just about. I feel like as many events as there are, there's at least that many T-shirts, if not more. So,
and then when you have another movie opportunity that night with The Shallows in the UC Theater from 4 p.m., 7 p.m., and 10 p.m.
Now, did you guys ever see this? This is the Blake Lively one, right?
Oh, no.
The Blake Lively shark. Isn't that The Shallows?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, so fan of Blake Lively. Not a fan of sharks. So probably my not being a fan of sharks will outweigh being a fan of Blake Lively, I think. And I will probably not be going to see this one. But again, it's just one of those things that I'm a giant toddler and I frighten very easily. So, but for those of you who are interested, The Shallows will be taking place not just on Friday, but Saturday as well, as it begins our UC movie countdown or UC weekly movie at 4, 7, and 10 on Friday, and then 7 and 10 on Saturday.
And is that $2 for students and $5 for non-students?
Absolutely. Yeah.
It is.
And that does include popcorn and a drink. Gentlemen, it is the cheapest date in Cullowhee. However, all of the ladies know it's the cheapest date in Cullowhee as well. So that really is it really evens out for you there. And then finally, the highlight for most folks for the week of welcome will be the concert by Somo at 8 p.m. on the Central Plaza.
I'm sure everybody's excited for that. I'm sure you could hear that one from your RD office and apartment.
Yes.
Yeah, so that'll be a lot of fun to have Somo on campus. Singer-songwriter, got famous doing YouTube videos.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. He did a lot of covers, built a huge fan base on YouTube, and that kind of started his career several years ago. So I'm sure not only will he be performing his original stuff, but he'll probably do some of those YouTube famous hits as well. If you have never seen him before, check him out, Somo on YouTube, and then he's got an official website and all that kind of stuff. It'll take place on the Central Plaza, unless it rains, in which case it will be moved to the UC Grand Room. And that will shut down the Friday, and that will be the end of the week of welcome as we kind of dive into Saturday with just a few events left.
Saturday, we head back outside with a swimming hole hike headed up by CRC. You can register at basecamp.wcu.edu by Friday, August 26th. Cost is $15 for students, $20 for all others. Don't know where they're hiking to yet. It's
the
not
swimming hole,
here,
Patrick.
But I don't, you know, there's so many swimming hole options.
Swimming hole, yes.
So that'll be a nice chance to kind of get the semester started off with Basecamp Cullowhee.
Yeah, get a little bit of a hike in, go swimming, enjoy the outdoors. 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. trip time. And you do have to register by the day before. So by Friday, if you want to go on the trip, you need to let Basecamp know. $15 for WCU students, $20 for faculty and staff, et cetera.
And that hike starts at 9 a.m., and you're expected to get back to campus around 4 p.m. Also at 9 a.m. Is intramural sand volleyball triples tournament continued into that Saturday morning.
Absolutely. And we already mentioned kind of you can register for that at recconnect.wcu.edu. And that's at the Village Volleyball Court. That'll be continuation from the night before. And then, of course, we mentioned the Shallows will be playing as well for 7 and 10. And then we close off the week. You know, we mentioned registering for the Peaks Nantahala rafting trip. They'll take off on Sunday, August the 28th at 1 p.m. from the Adventure Shop in the CRC, which if you've not been in the CRC lately, that is the old equipment cage near the basketball court. So that's where you'll meet for that final hike or that final kind of outdoor event for the weekend. And that really will get us into the semester almost into September, believe it or not. It is coming fast. Any other kind of highlights we want to talk about from the week of welcome, Patrick or Zach?
Not that I know of.
Well, I think we've covered everything. You may also want to check out catamountsports.com. I believe there's a volleyball tournament either that weekend of the 28th or the week after. So you can check out some Catamount volleyball and Catamount soccer action throughout this first week before. And then our first home football game will be the week after, which will be our first football game of the year will be in Greenville on September the 3rd against the ECU Pirates. Stay tuned for more information on that, because I'm sure the University Center will be organizing a trip to Greenville for students as well. So look for information on that via LMP, the UC, and then stay tuned here on the podcast, of course. We'll update you with any information that we get.
Yeah, this should be an exciting fall. Students are already back on campus. You can hear the marching band every day all around campus.
Absolutely. I'm sure Dr. Miller is longing for the day, and those in Scott Hall are longing for the day where the bass drums will not be practicing right outside of their offices. So they're looking forward to school starting, just so they don't have to hear the rat-a-tat-tat-tat-tat.
Or they could always move right outside of Balsam Blue Ridge.
You know, I'm sure Zach would appreciate the cadence.
Goodness, if I ever have to get a dance step going in my office, there's usually a beat somewhere to be found.
Absolutely. Well, Zach, we appreciate you joining us again for the first time. We'll have you on again for sure. It's been a pleasure having you here. And then that'll wrap us up for Zach Williams and Patrick Frazier. I'm Josh Thompson. We look forward to seeing you next Tuesday right here on the WCU Podcast. Remember, you can find us online on iTunes, iTunes U, podcasts.wcu, and on Facebook and Twitter at both of those .com/WCU podcasts. And for everybody, this is Josh saying, go Cats!